Let's take our Bibles for our scripture reading and look together in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. These are the instructions of our Lord with his disciples as he taught them just prior to going to the cross to lay down his life on their behalf. I can't think of any more precious reading than this. When you think of someone who's about to lay down their life as their shepherd, how momentous and how important and vital are the words that he has for their instruction and where is our instruction. It begins here, John 15, I am the true vine. He said, why would he have to say true, but not just I am the vine? Well, it's because it distinguishes him from all that is false. There is such as the world calls grace, but in Scripture we find added words just to make sure that we understand that grace means grace. It's free. It's forever. It's unconditional. Because of the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every word of Scripture is vital. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You catch the importance of that one verse, but all that Christ was about in coming to this earth had to do with fulfilling the will of his Father. That vine that was planted, he came to this earth and seed was sown in the ground and rose up and cut down according to the purpose of the Father. Salvation is a covenant between the Father and the Son. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I know some read that and say, well, be careful because you might be one of these that is in Christ, but at some point now you're going to be cut off. Some that preach that you could lose salvation. But some time ago, the Lord caused me to take a look at that word, he taketh away. You can do it with the ability to look up words now online and in the Strong's Concordance. You'll find a very interesting definition of taketh away. Actually, it means to lift up. Our Lord is talking to his disciples here. There's none that are his that he's going to cut off at any time. So when he says, every branch in me, that's pretty clear that this is one of his own, that beareth not fruit. That would be our case every time. Who are we? We have, fruit is passive. It doesn't control itself. And you'll hear preachers say, well, go out and bear fruit, as if we had the control. No. And these disciples are about to find out just what their true nature is. Smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. They ran for their lives. But for that, the Lord never cast them off, nor does he cast off any. Because in our lives, we have no fruit. He says, he that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He lifteth up. Imagine branches on a vine where it gets so low to the ground that the husbandman comes and lifts it up, bears it up so that it can bear fruit. But the bearing of fruit is dependent upon being in the vine. That's the whole point of this. Every branch that beareth fruit, so you've got some that bear not, but the husbandman is taking care of this vine. And you've got some that bear according to God's purpose, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So again, this is not something we do if we're the Lord's. It's being done for us and on our behalf. And that's why he says in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He is clearly addressing his own here. We're being able to listen in or read in on these words. And if we have been saved by his grace, then it can be said of us, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do we have any assurance at all? The Lord looks upon us with any kind of favor, knowing ourselves to be sinners. Well, it's his word. Don't take my word for it. Don't ask your neighbor. Look to him. That's why he says, abide in me, and I in you. That abiding is a dwelling. And it's not something you do. Fruit isn't jumping in and out. The fruit abides. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And again, who's the branch? Well, the branch here is those that are in him. It doesn't bear fruit of itself. That's our testimony for the Lord's. I am what I am by the grace of God. So as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. In other words, we acknowledge that all we have and ours in him. I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here it is, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, so here now is a difference. We're talking about those branches that do abide because it's Christ keeping them. But we know there are many who profess to be in Christ and yet do not abide in him or his doctrine. And they find ways to diminish the glory of Christ and who he is and his person. They don't abide in him. They believe in a mixture of grace and works. We run into these people all the time that profess to be in Christ and yet don't abide in him. It says he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. So the difference between being in Christ by his grace and being just a professor that ultimately the Lord himself separates out. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The key there is abiding in him. When we know that all we have and are comes from him, we're not going to ask for anything other than thy will be done. To ask what ye will is to pray as Christ taught his disciples to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. You can never go wrong with that. The Lord will always answer that cry, that prayer. And he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You think about what it is to bear fruit. Just the fact of being called a child of God is by God's grace alone. To be an heir of God, co-heirs with Christ. It's not from us. And you can just keep going, enjoying the peace and the pardon and the forgiveness, justification, redemption, sanctification, glorification, all these things that are wrapped up in this fruit. And no matter how much we think we understand it, as the Lord continues to teach us how sinful we are, but how glorious he is, how great then does that fruit redound to his glory and honor. It's not some personal righteousness fruit that we're talking about here, but the fruit is that which is the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of Christ's righteousness that he came and worked out, earned and established. God is put to the account of his people. Verse 9 sums it up pretty plainly. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in love. It's an unconditional love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Now, that's not a conditional, if you keep my commandments, then I'm going to love you. No, but this is the evidence that we abide in him, is that we keep his commandments. And that's not taking us back to the law. But to keep his commandments, what are those things that Christ in his gospel commands sinners? It's to look to him. It's to trust him. It's to rest in him. Those are all commandments that he gave to his own, and he gives to those of us that are his own. That's what it is to abide in his love, believing that it's because of his love that we receive all things from his hand. And so we continue to look to him, to rest in him, trust him. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Everything Christ did was for the glory of his Father. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. It can't remain if it's not in there to begin with. Well, that's what he does by his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's the revelation of Christ in the heart. And that your joy might be full. How? It's not a giddy joy, but it's rejoicing in who Christ is and what he's accomplished on behalf of such sinners as we are. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Talk about unconditional love. If my sin has not been imputed to my account, to me, but Christ bore it, who am I then to impute to any other of the Lord's any kind of grief or sin or fault that I may see in them? That's contrary to how God loves me. That's what he's saying here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's where the Lord draws our heart to consider why it is that he should ever lay down his life for such as I am. And he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And again, the if there is not a condition. You better, if you want to be my friend, you better, it's a qualification. How do we recognize those that are his friends? They do whatsoever he commands. We live and move and have our being in him. And everything, he's the shepherd. We're not carrying him, he's carrying us. Every path that he takes us on, we trust him, we look to him, we rest in him, we believe him. That's what it is to do whatsoever he commands. He's the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and they follow me. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. So much for duty preaching, trying to wrangle people into walking right, being right. We're not servants. But I have called you friends. When you think about what that means to be reconciled once for all. How? Verse 13, by his life that he laid down. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's how I know back here in the beginning. It's not the Lord standing back to see what bears fruit and what doesn't. He is the one bringing it forth and causing it to remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, were we not needy, there wouldn't be anything to ask. We continue to be needy creatures, even though we're being kept by the Lord himself. But it's his good pleasure that we be brought in our need to continue to ask of the Father, supplicate, cry unto him, but notice, in my name, he may give it to you. That doesn't just mean adding on at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. But it's to seek out the Father's will based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his character, knowing that the Father hears him. Such is our heart that he gives. These things he said, I command you. There's one of his commandments, that you love one another. We're taught of the Lord by his grace just how merciful the Lord has been to us. We're not looking at each other, comparing ourselves with one another, picking at each other, holding grudges against each other. That's not the character of one who's been taught of the Lord. You love one another. We love people for whom they are, knowing that we're just as guilty as any other, but for the grace of God. And if the world hates you, there's the real issue. It's not within the family of Christ that there's to be this conflict, because the conflict is the world. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, so here it is, the Lord separates out his own from the world. The world would love his own. So again, beware when the world, and I see this not just as a secular world, but even the religious world, don't seek compromise with those of false religion. The world, if you were of that world, then the world would love you. Because the world loves its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. There are people today, just like we were at one point, still in false religion, and yet they may well be sheep. But if they are, the Lord's going to manifest it in calling them out. Everyone he's purchased, he's going to have. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It's the Lord that makes the difference. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. How do we know the difference between true and false? It's those that keep his saying. In other words, and notice it's singular, his doctrine. His word, he is the word. Everything we weigh is not in light of our interpretation of the word, but the word itself. What does Christ say of himself? This book is his autobiography. So we come back again and again, regardless of what the world says. All these things, verse 21. Will they do unto you for my name's sake, because of his character, because of his person. Everybody talks about how they love Jesus. You start describing him as he is in his word, and all of a sudden you find out they've taken up sides. All these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You find any that stand against Christ as he's revealed here in this word, don't make excuses for them. Don't say, well, they're just kind of an ignorant Christian. No, there's no such thing. The Lord teaches his own and draws them by his Spirit, his word, to himself. They learn of him. They're taught of him. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Talk about the religious world that turned thumbs down on him. Came unto his own received him not. Great is that sin, that condemnation. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. There's some that still want to say they have a relationship with God as their Father and yet deny the Son. Impossible. For I said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. There's an accountability to the light. I've said that before, that people even drive by this building right here, knowing what is preached here. They might think, well, we're not accountable. We don't have to. Now, you're accountable for what you could have heard. But in your rebellion, will not have this man to reign over you. And he says, this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. So again, this people hold the Bible and they study it and they claim it as their law. But that very law condemns them, because he says they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, that word Comforter actually means an advocate, one that comes alongside to advocate. That's the Spirit. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. That's how you know it's the work of the Spirit, because it always draws one to the truth, which is Christ. You could put that next to the word truth, even the Spirit of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. There you have the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, all one. As to who gets the glory. The focus isn't on the Father, it's not on the Spirit, it's on Christ. He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And we can say that in one sense too. If the Lord chose us in Christ, we've been with him from the beginning. He's that high priest whose names are written on that breastplate, but it still took him coming and taking on flesh and being tempted in all things, yet without sin, and then laying down his life that God might be just and justify such as we are. What a blessed portion of Scripture. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for your word and the pleasure and privilege of opening and reading it with some measure of understanding, how we need your Spirit to continue to teach us. I pray that even this word that we've read might be used in your hand to turn up the fallow ground of our hearts, like the ground of this world left fallow and idle, becomes hard and dry. How we need your Spirit to so turn up our hearts, Lord, and cause the seed of Christ to be sown once again, bring forth fruit to his glory, to his honor. And for that, we're mindful, give you all the praise and honor in our dear Lord's precious name. Amen.